not a Christian teaching, they go banana, you know. So I just want to make that perfectly clear. What this is completely God-oriented and God-centered. That's what this teaching is. We use this power that we call God, and it's a power, it's an energy. It is not a person in the sky someplace. It's not a person running heaven, you see, wearing whatever they think God wears up there. It's an energy. It's an energy for good. And you can use that energy. Why can we use that energy? Because we're one with that energy. We make a saying here. We say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. We realize that the Creator and the creation are one in the same thing. There is no separation. We do not teach separation. We teach unity. Unity with what? Unity with good. Unity with God. Unity with the universe. And when you instill that in your mind, and when you really can believe that at the core of your being, you can manifest anything that you want. The word manifest means to bring in. You say you read the Bible. All right, there's a saying in the Bible, it took flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what a manifestation is. It's something that takes flesh and dwells among us. And we are able to do that because we are creators ourselves. We don't just let God do all the work. You see? We join with that good, with that energy. And we then use that to make our lives better, to bring into our lives what we want. And if you stay long enough, you'll be able to do that. And everyone here, I think, is able to do that now. Perhaps not as much as they wish, but you will be able to do it. The only thing that's holding you back from that is because you probably think, well, that's enough. You know, we have a saying here, more please. Always we want more. We're greedy. Very greedy. And it's all right to be greedy, you see. Natalie said, well, what happened to humility? Wasn't that what you said earlier?
Something like that.
Yeah. Humility will get you nowhere. Humility will get you nowhere. You show me somebody that has humility and I'll show you a weak, sad individual with no power whatsoever. We also have a saying, it says, be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. If you're not bold and shy and a wallflower, do you think anything's going to come to your aid? I doubt it. We all learned when we were younger, God helps those who help themselves. Has anyone not heard that saying? You have to do something. And then God and the universe, this energy, comes and backs you up in that. You have the book, The Power of Decision. In The Power of Decision, it says that once you make a decision, the thing that most people cannot do, they cannot make the decision. Once you make the decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. But people can't make the decision because they're afraid they may be wrong. It doesn't matter if you're wrong. Go ahead and make the... Mary. Go ahead and make the decision. You can always change your mind. If what you... When you get halfway down the road and you look around, you say, well, this isn't what I wanted. You think God's going to say, well, you have to stay on that road. No. You're the one who has been taught by the world outside. Well, you made it. Now you lay in it. You know. We don't do that. We step right out of it. We never live in a situation that we don't want. We move beyond that situation. We immediately forgive ourselves and move on. Does that help you now? Well, she hasn't run out the door, so it must be all right. Wesley.
When you're going over some of this and hearing it for the first time, it seemed to me this time that it's easy as an outsider coming in to misunderstand some of the things that you're saying, to where we put ourselves ahead of everything else and screw you.
Right.
And the thing that comes clear after you stay here a while is we're all in the boat together.
That's right.
Full at the same time.
Absolutely.
And I can brag about me and talk about how wonderful I am and good things have happened to me today, but that's not in any way or any teaching that I want to put down anybody else.
No.
Right.
Thank you. No, we never put down anybody else. We never put down anybody else because we happen to be that person. We're all one, you see. So you can't put anybody down. When you're looking out, you're just looking at another face, but you're looking at the same thing. The only thing there is God or good. That's the only thing there is. That's what they talk about when they say reality. The reality is always God, is always good. There are layers and layers of stuff on top of it. But the reality is good. And once you can see good in everything, good happens to you all the time. It cannot not do that. Okay? Because I don't want to confuse anyone. And if anyone else has something, if I confused you in any way, I will correct it. But this is a wonderful, wonderful teaching. It's a God-oriented teaching. And it will teach you how to go through life completely differently, so that you always feel good about yourself, about life itself, and so that you succeed in living. And that's what it's all about. And you can make a religion out of it if you wish. But the main thing is, it will change your life. And it will change your life for the good, so that you're feeling good about yourself all the time. Okay? So with that said, I will do a spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We affirm or reaffirm what the universe, or this thing that we call God, already knows about us, okay? I will do this in the first person. And all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. God is good. Therefore, I am good. And everything around me is good. I see only good. And when I see only good, I produce only good. And I can use this good, this connection that I have with this thing that we call God, I can use to bring into my life the prosperity, the abundance, and the money that I wish. And I do that right here and right now. And I let that be so, and so it is. All okay. I brought the rug in. That's the rug I found in the dumpster. And when I picked it up this week, I said to the man, I said, now you told me you thought this rug was worth $2,500. He said, I told you it was worth $2,500. I didn't think it was worth $2,500. It's worth $2,500. This is prosperity right there on the floor. It's $2,500 that I picked out of a dumpster. Because I always see good everywhere. I always see money coming to me. I always see prosperity coming to me. I always see things like that. And I'm not afraid to look in a dumpster for it. You see, you don't know where your good is coming from. Many people won't look because it can't come from there. What would be in that dumpster worthwhile? No one would throw something like that out. There's proof that that happens. So you look around. You know, maybe rugs. Do you know rugs?
They're very difficult.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he also told me it was, he thought it was made in 1900 at least, and it's all natural dyes. There's no chemical dyes in it whatsoever. So anyway, now I own that. And the poor man who threw it in, his loss. Now, I happen to know the man who threw it in, but I'm not going to tell him that it's worth that much money. You know, I don't want to beat him up over it. But anyway, think of those things. When you're looking for good, look for it everywhere. You do not know where good is coming from. And if good is everywhere, it has to be everywhere. It has to be in the dumpster also, doesn't it? It can't be, see? So you have to look and you have to see that thing and never shut your mind down to the good in your life. You also look around and you think of different channels for love. And you say to yourself, I'm open. I'm open to all the channels. Instead of, oh, I only get my money or my prosperity through my work. You see? That limits the universe. That limits God. God is called infinite. And we say there's infinite possibilities. So your mind has to open up. The finite mind has to go up to the infinite mind. What most people want to do is bring the infinite mind down to the finite mind. Well, the infinite mind will not fit in to the finite mind, but the finite mind will fit in to the infinite mind. So you go up in consciousness to that instead of trying to bring God, this energy, into it. Does that make sense to you? And then that all opens up. The last 2 weeks, the first week, we talked about love and how important that is. I took a seminar 30 years ago called Loving Relationships by Sandra Ray. Does anyone remember Sandra Ray? I think she's still alive. She was a nurse. And she was her and Leonard Orr. Does anyone remember the name Leonard Orr? Well, at that time they were what was called rebirthers, and you still see rebirthers around today. That rebirthing is a system of breathing. It's called connected breaths. And you breathe in a circular pattern until you get lightheaded. That's what always happened to me. But it's supposed to unblock. It's supposed to do things. But anyway, in this seminar, they had a saying which said, I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant being you. And that's what we must do to ourselves and to each other. We must see each other as radiant beings. And how we do that is through the eyes of love. Now, how do we get the eyes of love? By thinking love and by dropping that down into your heart so that your mind and heart are doing love. It's so easy if you think that you're in love with somebody to see them as a radiant being, to see them as a love object. But I want you to see everyone as a love object. See, and we can do that. So it's just learning to see things differently. But you do that with your mind and with your heart. I had a young lady today who said to me, well, I imagined that, and I thought something would just drop in. I had to imagine. Well, imagination is the biggest gift God ever gave you. Your imagination is the biggest gift that God ever gave you. And you have to start it. You have to use it. If you're sitting there waiting for ideas and imagination to drop into your head, I doubt very seriously that they're going to do that. But if you know that you have an imagination, you start to use your imagination, it's going to get bigger and bigger, and it's going to work for you. Then you get what you call a vision and so forth, and you bring that vision into your life. That's the system there. But we also, what? We always want to love ourselves. And love ourselves first. That's where it gets confusing, that we think sometimes we're not in the same boat. But we're all in the love boat. But we have to love ourselves. We have to learn to love ourselves. Everybody wants to love somebody else and not themselves. And I hate to say that, but that's a Christian attitude. Don't love yourself, love somebody else. You see. But it doesn't work. I was at a seminar this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. And they, during the sharing time, were maybe 30 or 40 people there. What was the main thing they wanted? Self-love. They wanted self-love. They wanted to be able to love themselves. And these people had children. They had, you know, partners. They had everything else. But they had no love for themselves. Because we're taught not to do that, aren't we? Not to love ourselves too much. Maybe just a smidge. I'm telling you to love yourself as big and bold as you want. Go for it, you know. Learn to live your life out 100%. 100%. Instead of sitting back and saying, well, I'll love myself maybe 80%. No one will notice. You see, and I'll get away with that. And surely God won't care if I love myself 80%. He won't think I'm conceited. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love your neighbor?
Exactly, but if you do love yourself, then you can love yourself.
Absolutely, exactly what I'm saying. You see, it has to start with you. And that's that one. Oh, love your neighbor, and the heck with you. No, I'm saying learn to love yourself. Get that into your whole being of loving yourself. Then the next thing you want to do is what? You want to forgive yourself. You want to forgive yourself for everything that happened to you, everything you hold against yourself, everything you hold against God, everything you hold against your parents. Just forgive all that. It's not getting you where you want to go. And it's usually slowing you down somewhere. We all have issues of something that we think, well, I'm not going to give that up right now. Well, go ahead and give it up. Because if you love yourself, you have to forgive yourself. And when you love and forgive yourself, then you can have that. You can live out 100%. And you can make yourself manifest what you want. But all those little things, the lack of forgiving and so forth, holds things back from you. You want to become a clear vessel for this power in the universe to work through you. You see? To work through you as you. You see? And you can do that. You can do that. So I'm always absolutely amazed when I go to these different things. And that's across the board, by the way. People do not feel lovable. They do not feel that they were loved. They usually don't feel that they were really loved by their parents. Well, give that up also. Forgive your parents and start loving yourself. If you think your parents haven't loved you enough, then start loving yourself and be your own parent. We're grown-ups now. Take that little child that's still inside of you, hold that little child, kiss that little child, love that little child, and then grow that little child till that little child becomes you. But most people think they're still waiting for somebody else to do something with that little child. That's your job to do. That's your job to grow your own self. And it's done with loving yourself, and it's done with forgiving yourself. So learn to do that. So tonight we're going to talk about misconceptions. And we all hold many misconceptions. And these misconceptions keep us not only in bondage, they keep us from realizing our true self. I read this yoga thing here tonight when I came in, and they use the word authentic self. You can use the word authentic self, spiritual self, real self, whatever word, it doesn't matter. But each and every one of you feel that there's something great inside of you, that there's somebody else inside of you than you're living. Am I right? You see? There's a true self inside of you. Last week, you said you knew that when you were a child. You see? Well, that hasn't gone. You've just have misconceptions on top of it. Your true self is always there. Now, it may be under layers and layers and layers of misconceptions and garbage and so forth, practically suffocating, but you can clear that away and allow that to grow in you. To grow. Is there anyone here who doesn't think that they have a real self inside of them? Something more inside of them than you're showing the world? You don't think you have a real self inside of you? Get over here.
No, I don't believe it.
Get over here. I said, get over here. Sit here on this chair.
I'd rather. I'm kind of comfortable here.
Oh, wow.
He just wants to smack you.
Several times. Why do you feel that way?
Mostly because it shifts all the time.
Because, well, maybe you're a shape shifter.
I wouldn't get carried away, but that's just the way I perceive it. I don't perceive any kind of solid,
reliable
self.
Because you think there's a misconception there going on of some sort?
No, I just think that it changes, that the nature of self.
Well, the nature of self, yes, of course. Well, it never comes and goes. It may change because of the things, but the true self never changes. The spiritual self never changes. But you have to learn to grow it. What you're changing is your mind and your concepts all the time of who and what you want to be, of who and what you think you are. You're seeing. That's done in the mind. I'm not talking about the mind right now. If you allow your mind to do that, it will continually do that to you. Your mind is never going to say, oh yeah, you got it. You know? It won't do that. It won't. Do you ever sit down and say to yourself, what do I really want? What do I really want? What do I really want? What do I really want?
I've actually written it down.
And how many times have you said it? Oh, well, a handful maybe won't work for you. You must say it thousands and thousands of times. Everyone here.
God.
Yeah. You must ask, what do I really want? What do I really want? What do I really want? That's coming from your true self. The reason why you do that is it shuts off the thinking mind. It shuts off the thinking mind long enough for the true self to tell you what you really want. And yes, it takes effort. But it's well worth it. It's well worth it. And you can do that, and you can scream that, and you can say that till you get hoarse. But it will come through. It always comes through. Because you have to eventually give up the misconceptions that you have about yourself.
So you're saying to say that about career-wise, or just cars too, or, you know,
well, your true self is not one bit interested in your career, you know. It's not one bit interested in your career. This energy that we call God could care less what your career is. You know, God doesn't say, ah, oh, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer. No, you do that. You do that.
So what is it interesting in God?
Pardon?
What is it interesting in your true self?
What is your true self interested in? Your true self is interested in you learning to love yourself. That's what the true self wants you to hear. And I want you to actually believe that. And once you believe that, your true self starts to develop. But the true self is there, just waiting for you to notice, instead of having these misconceptions about yourself. Misconceptions that come from what? You start by the age of 5, you have made up your mind about so many things in life. What you'll be, who you'll marry, how much money you'll make. All those things are done by the age of 5. And that's why people are having difficulty right now, because you have made so many decisions by the age of 5, but they don't work for you anymore. They don't work for you anymore. If I gave you a map of LA that was 100 years old, could you find your way around? Yes. What? You see, you're using an old map. You must get a new map. So by the age of 5, you've done that. By the age of 12, all your misconceptions are in place. All the misconceptions about you, about the world, about other people are in place. All your prejudices are in place by the age of 12. So you have to remove the misconceptions. You remove the misconceptions that your parents taught you. One of the biggest misconceptions that we have layered on ourselves is our thoughts about money. The thoughts that we have about money come from our parents and the atmosphere we grew up in. If money was scarce with your parents, you believe that money is scarce. If there was a lot of fighting about money, you're afraid of money. You have to get rid of those. Just get rid of them. Sit down very quietly and say, oh, that's not mine. I didn't do that. You know, say, and don't live with it. A misconception. How many people years and years ago lived with the misconception that the earth was flat? And they lived their whole life with that. Is that not an out-and-out lie? Is that not a misconception? But they lived that conception. They lived it. Remember, the church absolutely insisted that the earth was the center of the solar system. To, I think it was Copernicus who figured out that that wasn't true. And the church did not like that at all. But that was a misconception. And we all lived with that misconception. Now we live with that one because authorities kept telling us that was true. And we didn't bother to check into it because we weren't what? Into the whatever science that happens to be, astrology. We weren't into that stuff.
Astronomy.
Good, thank
they
you.
They were into astrology.
Right. But we said, well, I don't have enough knowledge. So these people are brighter than I am, so they must be right. Stop doing that to yourselves. Stop doing that to yourselves. The biggest thing that happened the other week was that the Pope died. marvelous man, did lots of work, but only inside of the box that he could do it with. But tons of people never think, they followed him right down. You have to learn to think for yourself. How do you know he was right? Because what? He was closer to God than the rest of you? You don't know if he was right about anything, because millions and millions of people showed up at his funeral and he has millions and millions of people going to church. That makes him right? That doesn't make him right. That just means a lot of people show up at those things. You know?
I feel the same way about things that are written.
Yes.
Just because it's written, does that mean it's right?
That's right. Absolutely. So you have to learn to think for yourself, and you have to get rid of the misconceptions that you're having. I will tell you right here and right now, I'll tell you something in a minute. There's no salvation through affiliation. There's no salvation through affiliation. You have to do that yourself. You have to do that yourself. So these misconceptions that you're living with, and if you sit quietly, you can hear them. That came from your parents, or came from what? The world outside that taught you things in school that were wrong, that were misconceptions. But the biggest misconceptions that we make are the ones that we think up ourselves. I can't do that. I'm not smart enough to do that. I will never have money because, and the list goes on and on. They're misconceptions. You can get rid of them. And it's easy to get rid of them. Why don't people get rid of them? Because they're used to living with them and they're used to talking about them. Did somebody, you want to say something?
I said they're comfortable.
They're comfortable. There you go. They're comfortable. How many people have a pet peeve? Oh.
Hello.
I do.
You have a pet peeve?
Yeah, my pet peeve is people with pet peeves.
Oh, well there, that's a pet peeve. You don't want to have pet peeves, because if you have pet peeves, what do you have to do? You have to walk them all the time. We have to walk them all the time.
You're here all week, right?
See, it's in your mind. Everything is in your mind. And we can learn to get those out of our mind. I'm so glad that Jonathan showed up, because I want him to tell you, everyone, the story that you told me. If you don't remember it, I'll tell you how to, where to start. Your concept of money before you came here.
All right, yeah. I mean, first time in Los Angeles, I'm driving down the road and I see all these Porsches and everything passing me. And the thought going through my head, I can remember it, was, I'm never going to be able to afford those. Kept on telling myself, that's another world, that's nothing to do with me. And obviously, subsequently, from coming to Dallas's classes, that has all changed. And it's all changed, literally, because all those things, not the Porsches, yet, are coming into my life. So,
tell them the part about you were afraid to spend money.
Oh yeah, I mean, I would just be saving up my money, because I was scared at the end of the month I wouldn't have enough to pay my bills, etc. And it just amazes me now how that whole thinking has changed. It's, I know there's an abundance of money, and I know that I don't even need to think about it, so I just buy the stuff and know that there's always going to be money there. And it is.
Yes?
I was just agreeing with
you. Oh, great. Remember the affirmation. Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. Jonathan has figured that out. He gave up a misconception about himself and about life, and that caused him to bring into his life things that he thought that he always wanted, and now he's able to do that. You get wonderful things, don't you?
Yes.
Wonderful things. What? You're that? I'm just going to call him your father-in-law, but he's not your father-in-law.
No, he's not. No.
He will be one day.
One day, he will be eventually. Yes.
Okay. We'll put that out there.
I think he has already.
His father-in-law comes from Texas, and he was here 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he came to because he was going to do an interview at a college or something.
Yeah.
And he came up after class and he said to me, what should I do? And I said, first, send your spirit ahead to make the way clear. And then go in there and remember that it's only ever God talking to God. And now, do you remember what he said? Mm. You want to tell?
I can't remember his exact. I know it was the best interview he's ever had. Definitely. He felt more confident after that interview than any interview he'd ever had. And, you know, he came out of it with this huge grin on his face that I haven't seen before. So
I think he said to them, to the people, you're really great people.
Yes, he did. That's right. He did.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Now, the reason why I bring all this stuff up or bring the rug in and all that is for show and tell. But it's also to tell you, if Jonathan can do it, if I can do it, if you can do it, everyone can do it. Mary, how are you doing with your job?
Everything's coming up roses like you
I love to hear that story, and I love to see your face, because you were very gloomy when you came in here the first time. You know, let's face it, you were a sad sack, weren't you? But now you're laughing and smiling. You see? Tommy, weren't you? No. Aren't you feeling better? Remember when you drug yourself in here?
Comes and goes.
I'm never asking that child another question. I've had it with him.
Did you kick me out?
No. I would never kick anyone out. Okay. You're here because you're going to hear something that you need to hear. And that's why everyone is here. You're not here because of me. You're here because I'm going to open up my mouth and something's going to come out of it that allows you to have an aha experience. Because if you ever... Of course, they tape these now. You could go back and listen to them. I just say the same thing over and over again. I just say it in a different way till you understand it. I just keep saying the same thing. And eventually, I say it in a way that your mind will accept. You see? And I think you're doing wonders there, Tommy. And it will perhaps come and go. But one of these days it's going to stick. And you're going to say, oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Many people here have heard me talk about Aunt Catherine. My Aunt Catherine is going to be 93 years old. A couple years ago when I talked to her, I said to her, she lives by herself at 93. She manages her own house. She manages her own finances. She does all her own cooking. She's very self-sufficient. And she's always happy. I've never seen her not happy. So I said to her, Aunt Catherine, how do you do that? And she said, I watch my thinking. Now, she learned that on her own. She doesn't go to church. She doesn't do anything. I used to send her daily word. But she figured that out on her own. And this week when I talked to her, we were talking, I don't know, about somebody not being happy. And she said, well, you know, Dallas, when you get up in the morning, you have to make up your mind you're going to be happy. Because that's as happy as you're going to be all day long. She said, it's, you know, you make up your mind, I'm going to be happy. And then you're happy all day long. You have to do that for yourself. Everyone's waiting around for something to make them happy. Oh, well, give that up. It's not going to happen.
You know, I totally believe that, because when I come over the hill every morning in my car, I smile. And, you know, there are a lot of cars coming the other way because there's a lot of traffic. And, I'm smiling. Even if I smile for 3 minutes, whatever it is, well, whatever, I put a grin on or what have you, it makes me feel 100%. You know, it makes me feel good.
Right.
And actually, it does carry me. It propels my day.
It does. You were here for my little talk on smiling. Maybe not. Well, they have proved that smiling for 3 minutes is like an upper body workout. It also releases endorphins, or one of them, in your head, and that makes you feel better. And they say if you keep smiling, your whole face will change. Yeah, well, look, if you're sad all the time, you're just going to melt away, you know, gravity. So smile and pick up that thing. It'll save you a lot of money at the doctor. So there's all those things to think about.
Just when you were saying that, everybody just perked up and smiled.
Oh, yes. We don't smile enough. We get into deep thought. We get into something else. But we have to remember to do that for ourselves, to smile. We have to remember to smile.
It adds years to your life, too.
It does. I'm 107.
You look pretty good.
And this is how crazy Michael. You know, there's so much traffic going the other way into the city. So while I'm driving and smiling, you know, I'm looking at all this traffic. I'm thinking to myself, boy, these what they're thinking of me while I'm smiling, you know, like, you know, this guy's smiling, I'm like breezing right through to come to the valley, you know, which is actually crazy for me to even think like that. But
why is that crazy? Smile your way right through everything. Smile your way through the traffic. Don't get into that traffic thing.
Yeah.
We don't like that. No. Who likes traffic? No one. Yes. I've said this many times. Life is a do-it-yourself project. You have to do it. Most people are waiting around for somebody else to do it for them. You have to do it. You have to smile. Not wait for Groucho Marx or somebody to make you smile. Learn to smile. Pardon?
You are 107.
That's because Larry's here. Yes.
Now, what if you're a person who naturally smiles usually, and then you have a ton of people around you who are probably not that way, and then eventually after some time, it gets on you. At this point, how do you stand? And
well, I get up and leave.
If you're working.
If you're working, you cannot let that bother you. Just keep smiling and make them start to smile. You see, you don't buy into that. That's called the toxic. And those are toxic people. And they're the ones that are going to tell you. My friend immediately about the rug said, I said, he told me it was worth $2,500. She said, yeah, but they're going to give you $500 for it. Like, you know, that's the she was on the phone, I hung up.
Did you?
I don't listen to that stuff anymore. Who wants to listen to that stuff? Hang up on them. So just keep smiling and don't pay attention to those people. Learn to love yourself, keep smiling. And smile and love yourself enough that they'll want to know what's going on with her.
I had an experience at work. There was a new girl that came in to work, and the very first day she was there, she was not in a good mood at all. And she was, even clients picked up on it, and the other girl I work with and I were like, oh, we can't work with this girl. Forget it. Her attitude, everything. She obviously didn't want to be there. And so when she went to lunch, I said to the other girl, I said, let's send her love and blessings. I said, maybe she's having a bad day. Let's just send. So we both kind of sent her love and blessings while she was at lunch. She came back from lunch and was a completely different person. She was happy. She was helpful. And she told us the next day that she didn't want to be there. That she didn't want, she took a pay cut. She took a step backwards. And that she really didn't want to be there, and that she thought about it while she was at lunch, and she realized that she's got to make the most of her situation. She's there, she's going to be happy, and she's going to do her job while she's there, and it's just temporary, and she's going to move on from there. So it was amazing how that worked. You know, it was amazing. It was cool. You know, and now I love working with her, and she's been a blessing. So.
In one moment, and then I'll be with you. Things like that should never amaze you.
It's
amazing, but it's all right to be amazed, but you must take that for granted. You must take that as normal. And you see, we do not take it for normal. So when it happens, we're amazed. But why did that happen? Does anyone know why that happened?
We're all one,
but love heals everything. See, love is the answer to everything. If you're having any type of problem, love is the answer to that.
Can you just go around saying, I love you? And think, I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you, love you.
Well, you don't have to go around and say that. They may lock you up. But you can certainly think it all the time. You can certainly send out love to everybody all the time.
Okay. Or you.
Oh, go ahead. You?
I was just going to add, I've been in similar situations like that, and working in groups like real tight, that you had to get along with everybody, like eight people or something. And I went to a lecture a long time ago, I was probably 12, and I still remember this and just wanted to share it with everybody. The guy said, when you're having problems, we always look at the other person and go, man, that Larry, blah, 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 blah. I'm just using you, sorry. But if you're watching a movie, you don't go to the screen to refocus. You go to the projector. And so changing your perception of Larry is what fixes Larry. Not, I'm going to fix Larry by beating him up or telling him what to do. And since I was 12, that just hit me like a ton of bricks, kind of like what you were talking about. You heard that one thing. That was quite an aha moment, and I've kind of used that.
And that's right. That's terrific, because that's all life is changing your perception. That's what this teaching is all about, is learning to change your perception. What do you think it says? Change your mind, change your life. It means change your perception. You know, it just means change the way you're thinking about something. See it differently. And you can do that. That's the power that you have. And as soon as you do that, that thing changes. But whenever you think you're having a problem with anybody, the only reason why you think that is because it's you. You see, we're always looking into a mirror. If we didn't have the same thing as that person, we wouldn't recognize it. We would never recognize it. So as soon as you recognize something in somebody else, you have to look inside and say, oh, where is that in me? Do I want it or don't I want it? And then get rid of it. Did you have something, Faye?
Well, I was just going to say, you were saying, just think, you mean think love, love, I love you, I love you, I love you, and that doesn't necessarily work because then the head starts doing stuff. But I realized, because it's easier to choose an action that is loving, maybe, than to say, I love you, when your head's screaming, I despise this person, I run them out of my life. So, you know, so I was just going to say that, you know, it is, I actually realized years ago, because I used to be a lot more irritable.
I find that hard to believe.
and I realized years ago that I found it more interesting, one, but that at some point I realized I had made a choice, I chose kindness.
Yes.
And which really to me is the same thing as love, but kindness being we are of a kind.
Yes.
Know? Usually if I'm behaving like that, it's because I'm feeling this way. And
right.
it's just been funny to watch that. And the response is really wonderful. And people don't generally, and maybe it is again, if I'm not choosing unkindness, even if they are, I don't get it that way.
Right.
It's like, huh. So it's, I mean, I have my bad days too, but
It's learning to change your, oh, I'm sorry.
When you were talking about misconceptions, I've been thinking about it the whole time here, and a couple of them that I've had just hit me like a ton of bricks, right? I mean, I know I've had them. They've been so entrenched for so long that it's just been like an intellectual pursuit to think about it.
Which gets you nowhere, by the way.
It gets you nowhere, right. And what's going on here right now with me is that it came from here, I went to here, and I just was feeling those misconceptions. And they're big, you know, too old, probably 25 years left of life. I got two kids, can't have anything, just going to have to do the grind and just accepting it, you know? And that's all bullshit, you know? I mean, it's all comfortable.
Yes.
You know, it's
safe.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just realized that that's what the fuck I was doing.
So you're not living out your life 100%, are you?
No, absolutely not.
And the little handout sheet does not, and one of the paragraphs there say, I have the ticket to the theater. It's down around three lines or something, paragraphs. What does that say?
Now I have the ticket to the stage of my life in my hands. Though I am only halfway there, I see there is great
right.
possibility in light of the future.
All right. So now that you know that you have misconceptions, you have the ticket to life. You have the ticket to the theater of life.
Well, I've always known. I mean, intellectually, but now I know.
Yeah.
I mean,
we have to get out of our head. Now, many people think that this teaching, because it's called Science and Mind by something, they think it has something to do with the mind. Of course, we have to use the mind. But it's the heart that does it. If you stay in your head all the time, it's not going to work. Tommy stays in his head all the time. He never drops anything down to his heart. When he does drop something down to his heart, his mind says, oh, you're wrong. Oh, then it goes down, then it goes up and down and up and down, where he thinks he's going back and forth. He's really going up and down.
You should see me sobbing.
Go ahead. Use my rug. How do you drop something into your heart? Well, you have to start with the thought, and you have to start with the feeling. You know, the thought. And then you just visualize dropping that down to your heart and see your heart opening up and sending out love, sending that stuff out. Are you still reading Heart Math?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a good book?
Yeah. Reading what now?
Heart Math. M-A-T-H, it's called HeartMath. That's the institute here that's been around, I think, 15 years by now, who does all the research on the heart, on the feelings that come from the heart, on the energy that we put out with our heart. That's what your
father-in-law-to-be
did. Because when I say, let the spirit go before you and make the way clear, that's energy from your heart. And that's pushing that energy out. When you push that energy out, you see, it does make the way clear. No one can stand up to love. No one can stand up to love. What is the best way to get rid of an enemy?
Love them.
If you love them, they're no longer your enemy. They're no longer your enemy. I think she said bastards. Annie Mame was one of my metaphysical mentors. Really and truly, she knew what she was up to. So anyway, think of those things in your head. That's all right, but then drop them to your heart. When he dropped it to the heart, he had a small aha experience and said, oh, I can change this now. You can start to think differently, can't you? You can start to say, I'm not, my life is not over at that age. Never say your life is over, and never say, I only have 25 more years to live, and this, that, and the other thing, you know. I'm going for 100 and something or other. And the reason, one of the reasons why I can do that, because I have people in my family. You think, Aunt Catherine's old. Another relative just turned 104, you see. So I see longevity. So I don't have the misconception that you die at 55 or whatever.
And also all our ages are getting pushed up, too.
Oh, yes.
Naturally. And who knows what science is going to do in favor.
Right.
I don't know. It's just so, not in
yes.
our mindset anymore.
Right.
It shouldn't be.
So anyway, we're going to use love, we're going to use forgiveness, and we're going to get rid of our misconceptions so that we can go back and find that true self, so that you can find that true self that you knew and use it in your life for the acting and so forth. You see, so that you do develop self-confidence, so you think really good about yourself, so that you don't have a voice coming up and saying, you're awful, you'll never make it, this isn't going to work. You don't want that voice. That voice you're making. The universe isn't doing that to you. God isn't doing that to you. God is saying, go for it. Go out and use 100% of your energy. 100% of your energy. And do it. How many people think that they have no energy? I'll see. You have energy.
I was in Kansas on Wednesday, and I had an experience that I haven't talked about yet, but it was, and the experience was my heart really opened up. Like, I mean, I could hardly sit in it, you know, and I didn't even really know. Someone see it in that moment was like, it was like terror, you know. It was worse than if I told you, you know, I stole something, as you know, whatever. And I didn't even, it didn't even hit me until later on that night what had occurred, you know. And but it was like exactly what you're talking about. I felt my chest completely open up, and it, you know, it scared me so bad that I.
And that that's what we think, that it's too much because it's an overwhelm, because we're not used to using that muscle. We're not used to feeling that feeling. So we get frightened, we get afraid, and we close that heart muscle back up again. We close our whole chest back up again. But I will tell you this, you are an actor. You must open that. If you want to really pursue and be a great actor, it has to come from the heart. And you know right away when people are just doing it and saying their lines and there's nothing there. It has to. The audience feels that. They don't feel this. But that's a great thing. So now go back and use that and keep opening that up and use that when you go out on auditions and so forth. Yeah. Open up your heart and you'll book that job every time. Yeah. You'll book it every time. Okay. So please try to find your true self. And you can do that by saying to yourself, I don't care if it takes 2,000 times, you have to just keep saying, what do I want, what do I want, what do I want, what do I want? Till the ego mind shuts down and allows your true self to say, but you all have that true self, you see.
You don't have to say it out loud.
Well, I would say it out loud. Not, no, I would. Yes.
In line at the bank. Yeah. Yeah. Supermarket. Yeah. A lot of people feeling the fruit at the fruit supermarket.
Like those people on their cell phones that you hear.
Yeah. Just do that. So that's what the three lessons were, the love, the forgiveness, and the misconceptions, were to bring you a point where you could meet your real self. So work on that. Use the little handout and so forth and see that for yourself. And don't be afraid to use your imagination or think that you're thinking something that's going to get you into trouble. You're not going to get into trouble. Many people are afraid to think because why? They've been taught that Satan will drop in there. You see, I'm here to tell you there's no such thing as Satan. There cannot be, not in this teaching, and not in my mind. And I hope that it's not in any of your minds. Because if you think that there is something like Satan, that is immediate separation from good. Immediately. It's separation from good. And it was brought on the world to keep people under control. That is the only reason that myth was put on the world.
So what about all the evil in the world? When kids get burned or abused or... You know?
Can you answer that one, Wesley?
I didn't hear the whole thing, but most of what we think of as Satan and hell and all that came from Dante's Inferno.
Yes.
It's not even biblical. It's not even...
That's right.
You know, it was manufactured in 1200.
Yes.
Man-made.
Absolutely.
So how do you explain children who get burned, abused, molested, raped? Children, like babies. How do you explain stuff like that?
That's one of the hardest questions to answer. And I always get somebody in the class who wants me to answer that or wants me to explain Hitler.
It's now, simple to explain Hitler.
It's simple?
Yeah.
What?
He is another child of God.
Yes.
Absolutely.
His ego mind has run amok.
Right. And does anyone know where Hitler is? Right.
Still here.
What was the question?
Where is Hitler?
In our consciousness.
Yes. He's in our consciousness. And he's also in heaven right now.
And he's in the Vatican, I think.
Yeah. And with children, it's very difficult. Because they have not developed their consciousness enough. So people that come in onto this plane of action that have to play out something use those children. People that come onto this plane of action, we all, I'll try to not get anyone. When we decide to incarnate on this planet, we make a contract. And when we're living here, we fulfill that contract. The people who do that harm and so forth have made a contract of something that they have to find something out. And they fulfill that contract. I say to myself every day, I am so grateful that I do not have to play the role of a molester, of a murderer, that I did not choose to do that on this plane of action. I know that doesn't help you, but it will eventually.
Okay.
It will eventually. And we can always go there. The main thing in this teaching, and I try never to get off the track, knowing about Hitler, knowing about children and so forth, is not what I am teaching here. I am teaching you people to believe in yourselves, to see yourselves as one with God, to see yourself always as whole, complete and perfect. To know that you're absolutely lovable, that you're absolutely worthy, and that you do deserve. So that you can live a life that's fulfilling to you, and that you can live that life with a peaceful mind, a mind that's not torturing you all the time. That's not telling you something bad about yourself or bad about the world. That is what we were here for. And the name of this class is Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. And I'm sure that most of the people in here can say that they have seen more prosperity, more abundance, and more money from listening to me rattle on and on. If that is not true for you, raise your hand and we'll correct it. This teaching works. It's the only teaching that works. And it works because we're using the mind of God. And the outside world, people are very troubled. And they go to what we call talk therapy. Talk therapy is very, very helpful. But I will tell you outright, the mind cannot heal the mind. The mind cannot heal the mind. You have to bring in the spirit. You have to bring in God in order to heal your mind, in order to heal your thinking. I think you people are absolutely wonderful. And I know that I am. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. There's a sign-in sheet if you let us know you're here. We'll have a basket out there for donations for Dallas if anybody wants to contribute. And Dallas is also available for privates for hypnotherapy and for private counseling as well.
And rug cleaning.
And rug cleaning.
And Andy, there's no basket there.
So this is the rug.
Yes, that's the rug. That's the rug.
Somebody threw that away.
Yes.
I don't know.
Pardon? $50.
Gary, what's up with the
dude? That's cool.
Dude,
what?
He's driving in today.